Buddy, glad to see y'all here this morning. Will y'all please stand? We're going to get our blood moving here a little bit. Feel free to clap your hands if you like. You guys did a pretty good job at the picnic. All right, let's sing some old-time hymns to get us going this morning, ready?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing heart?
Player. Wasn't he awesome?
Yeah.
And that banjo never goes out of tune. That's what's bad. We all bow your heads with me to open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that we can come here and worship you this morning, God. Lord, we love you and we just want to gather together to praise your holy name, God, and hear the message that you have for us from your word, God. Lord, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us and upon this service today, upon everything that we sing and do, God, and especially upon your pastor and upon the word that he's going to bring us this morning, God. I thank you and I praise you for that. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Studentville, if you don't know where that's at, see Kevin, the drummer right there. He'll let you know. All right. And we need help. It's in the preschool area. Our new church year starts September 1st. That's next Sunday. Wow, right? So move up day is also next Sunday. So if you have children that are moving up in your classes, next Sunday they will move to the next level, to the next grade. And then also the 10th annual Friendship Room request, you can read it there in your bulletin, all the details. We're trying to get a table. We need 8 people to go. If you are interested in going to that, please see Zeke, Pastor Zeke right there, and then we'll take it from there. And if you've lost your noodles, the WMU will take them. Read your bulletin. All right, thank you.
Thank you. And one other thing before we continue with worship, I've had a lot of people ask me, hey, Mike, how'd the equipment survive on Saturday? Well, we are happy to report there has been no casualties. It is amazing that wind can knock over those tower speakers and they land on concrete. And the only thing that I'm missing are 5 knobs, which I could replace. But everything else is working great. All the other equipment, it all survived. And we're looking forward to giving this another try. All right, continue worship this morning.
The clouds shining like the sun at the Buried, he carried
is far away. In rising, he justified.
Cross for us that day. Amen.
Has a held regret over my head gone. These chains are ashes now that once were rusted.
Jesus.
God, we thank you. We thank you for the cross, Lord.
Oh God, I praise you.
And we praise you, Lord.
Jesus, I praise you. Praise you, yes, for the cross.
Oh Lord, we have much to praise you for this morning, Lord. You are the most forgiving God, the most loving God, the most kind God. And we just want to thank you for loving us to the point that you would send your son to die for us. The greatest demonstration of love that can ever, ever be possible. So Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the blessings that you give us. We thank you for such a building as this to worship in, and an atmosphere as this to lift your name. Lord, we pray that this worship was a sweet aroma to you. We pray that you were pleased with this worship. And Lord, that it came from a heart that was bent towards you. And Lord, we just come and we want to dedicate the rest of this worship service to you as we come now to the time of giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, that we want to honor you and worship you with not just our voices and our presence, but with the means of which you've given us, Lord, that we can survive, that we can make the gospel prosper, Lord, that we can send it to the utter ends of the world, literally, that people from not only Brook County, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, and Ohio, but across the world would hear your gospel message. So, Lord, we ask your blessing up on this offering. We ask your blessing up on the giver of it. Lord, as always, as we continue to worship you with your word, Lord, I pray that you would speak into me. Lord, you forgive me my sins. Lord, that you would cleanse me, that I could stand here righteously in front of you, Lord. Lord, not for my glory, but for yours. So if I'm going to say something or do something or preach something that is not of you, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you would silence my lips. Let me not speak. But you would rise up the one to speak for you this day. For we love you and want you to be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike, and Praise Band. We appreciate all that you do. You're welcome. Boy, you're a good-looking group, a lively group singing out this morning. I really enjoyed worship. It was very upbeat and lively this morning. And so we just pray that the Lord continues that, because I think I have a very upbeat message for you this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Joshua 6, Joshua chapter 6, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Joshua 6 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as we are in a series in Joshua. I've entitled this sermon, A Lot Can Happen in a Day. Yeah, I'm letting that sink in for a second. A lot can happen in a day. You know, I read a quote that went like this: we are born in one day. We can die in one day. We can change in one day. We can fall in love in one day. I mean, I can just keep going on, but basically anything can happen in just one day. And that is what we will see today. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since we've walked through the passages of pages of Joshua. Did I tell everybody I outfished John? Okay, I just want to make sure you all got that I outfished John, all right? But it's been a couple of weeks since we walked through the pages of Joshua. So today I'm going to do a little review so that we can catch back up to where we are. We last watched as the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, the nation of Israel, marched around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, seven times. So 13 times total, they walked around those massive walls. They walked around 13 times on those walls. But the question is, why? Why did they have to do it 13 times? Why didn't God just zap the wall down on the very first trip around it? Well, obviously, as we have learned already, God was working something out in the lives of his people, the Hebrews, right? He's working something out in their lives. But also, at the core of what we learn was that God was working something out in the lives of the Canaanites, too, the enemy, right? You see, the Canaanites lived in Jericho behind those massive walls. They were behind those big walls there in Jericho, and they didn't know it, but it was about to come tumbling down. I mean, they were very secure. They felt very secure, but they didn't know what was about to happen. And as the Hebrew people, the Israelites, marched around that wall, I believe that God was giving the Canaanite people, right, the Israelites, one last chance. Also, don't forget, the Canaanites worshiped false gods. Don't forget this. They worshiped false gods, and even after 440 years and six more days, based on the text, right, Remembering what Rahab said, we have heard what your God has done. Remember, Rahab repeated it to all of them. Remember, we had heard of all of this that your God had done, right? So, it is obvious to me, after watching the Israelites march 13 times around the city, one time around each day for 6 days, and then seven times around on that last day, marching silently around the wall. I know that's gross, but I gotta get that cough drop out of my mouth, right? Around the wall. That the Canaanites still did not repent. And they did not repent because they really had no fear. But there they are marching around there for 6 days, right? And the Canaanites still did not repent. They did not turn from their false worship into the one true God. And God gave them plenty of time to do that, right? 446 days, right? Now listen closely to this. We've learned that God will only give you so much time to respond to him. God will only give you so much time to respond to him, and if you continue to ignore him, it'll be all over and total destruction will come. I told you this is going to be a feel-good message, right? Listen, this is always the end result of rejecting God. Basically, that's what they're saying. This is the end result of rejecting God. So God gave them one more chance, and that's where we are in our text. And now today, not only was God working out something in the lives of these Canaanites, but I want you to see that God was also working out some stuff in the lives of the Hebrew people as well, the nation of Israel. Now, I've told you all before about the size of the wall that surrounded the city of Jericho. It was massive. It'd be like looking up at a six-story building. Therefore, I am certain that the people of Israel, I'm certain that the people of Israel, as they marched around that wall, not one time, not two times, but 13 times, they must have felt like a speck in comparison. Go stand up to the next six-story building. That's what your building is that you work in, a six-story building. Go stand outside on the sidewalk. You feel like a speck in comparison to that building. All the while thinking, how do we conquer this wall? God's told us all of what's going to happen, but how do we get into this? How do we conquer this wall? Remember, these were mostly shepherds, right? These were shepherds. The Israelites were mostly shepherds, and they were former slaves. They were not warriors. They had to have thought, this is an impossible situation. And I think every time they marched around, they probably thought, I don't know, God, what are you thinking, right? This is an impossible situation. How can we take this wall? God said it would fall, but it looks pretty strong to me. So what was God working out with his people? Because there was no way possible for them to go through those walls. There was no way for them to scale those walls and take that city. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever faced anything like that in your personal life? Maybe your family life? You're just looking at it and you think, there's just no way. Well, the Israelite people certainly felt that way. And God wanted them to see this 13 times. That's why I think so many times. God really wanted it to sink in. He wanted them to see this 13 times. Why? Well, my thoughts on this would be this. God wanted his people to see point number one. God wanted his people to see the might and the power of God. So turn with me again to Joshua 6, and let's begin in verse 2. Joshua 6, verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. Now, this is so fascinating to me. Now, put your finger there in Joshua 6 and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because I want to show you something there. It's a comparison that most people will not pick up on at first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, pick it up in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where you read this. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That is, those of your loved ones who have died in Jesus Christ. Many of us have lost those, right? They died in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes, they will come with him. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen. Look, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the interesting thing is this. Now, watch. Here is the formula in Joshua 6, right? There's a formula in Joshua 6 to bring down the walls. Remember, we just read that, right? You blow the trumpet, the ram's horn, right? You blow the trumpet, the ram's horn, and you shout, and the walls will come down. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord is going to come with a shout, with the trumpet of God, right? There's a horn and a shout, right? And we're going to go up. Once it's going to blow the horn and shout, the walls, something's going to fall, and then there's going to be a shout and a horn, and then we're going to go up. Listen to me. A lot can happen in just one day. Don't ever forget, a lot can happen in just one day. So this is the might and the power of God. And let me tell you something, it's absolutely incredible. And he comes and he says this, and we will do well to remember this encouragement that I'm about to say here. God is saying this, I'm gleaning out of this, this is what he's saying. I have the power to bring your enemies down, and I have the strength to pick you up. Amen? I have the power to bring your enemies down, and I have the strength to pick you up. Now, that's what he's saying here. This is a word for you today. Now, what was their strength? What was the Canaanite strength? What was the enemy's strength? Well, if you look at it, their might, their security, their salvation was all wrapped up in the walls of Jericho. Their might, you could say it like this, their might, their security, their salvation was all wrapped up in the things of this world, the walls. And what happens to the walls of Jericho? Well, the Bible says the walls of Jericho came down. Verse 5, back in Joshua 6, and it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall flat down. Now, that's exactly what happened, is it fell down flat. Now, I'm going to take a moment here and talk about that. Because so much has been written about the walls of Jericho, and people have questioned me about it. Now, some of you are up on it, right? Some of you are up on this because some of you have studied this, and you have come to me and have asked questions about it. Again, there's been a lot written about this. And so let me do a minute or two of apologetics with this. Apologetics, it means other writings that bring justification to the text, all right? So when you come to something like this, the walls of Jericho, we look at that, we've talked about it, but when you come to the walls of Jericho and you go home today and turn on the television and they're on National Geographic Channel or the History Channel or something like that, you know, old people like John watch that, but something like that, you may find specials on the walls of Jericho. You could come across that. And they may tell you that that an earthquake hit and the walls of Jericho fell down. That's what caused it, was an earthquake. And I've had people come and say, did that happen? Was there an earthquake? I don't know. How do I know if there was an earthquake? How do I know? The text doesn't say that there was an earthquake, but how do I know? But let me ask you a question. If there was an earthquake, isn't it very, very, very interesting that it happened on the seventh day, exactly when they marched around the seventh time and they blew the trumpets and they shouted that the earthquake hit at that exact moment? Now, let me ask you another question. If it did happen that way, is that any less of a miracle? Is it any less of a miracle? Is it any less of a miracle if God shook the ground, right? Does he have the capability? If God took the ground and he shook it and the walls come tumbling down, that, and in the midst of this entire great massive wall that took this kind of an earthquake to shake the ground, that all these walls come tumbling down except for Rahab's house. Is it any less of a miracle that if God used an earthquake, that the walls fell out, not crumbled, right, and not crumbled upon itself? That's very important. Let me ask you, is that any less of a miracle? And is it not amazing that an earthquake that could bring down the walls of an ancient city didn't seem to bother the Hebrews that stood right beside them? There was no destruction to the Hebrews who were marching all around there. In my book, that's what you call an unusual earthquake. Now, I've read all kinds of theories on this. One of the theories I've looked at talked about sound waves. The sound waves that caused the walls to fall. Now, let me just tell you something here. When people don't believe the Bible, right, when they don't believe the Bible or they don't like what the Bible says, they will go to any lengths to prove that what the Bible says is not so. They will reach really, really far. Now listen to me, because this next theory, this is one of the kookiest ones I have ever heard. That is a word. How do you spell that? Kookiest. Okay. They said that as they stood there around the walls of Jericho and blasted those trumpets, that as the people shouted, it was with such a decibel, that it caused the walls to fall down. Now, have you ever looked at a wall and just screamed at it before and it fall down? Come here. Yell at that wall. Loud as you can, yell at it. Come on, man. I'll get them to help you. So what they're saying, I knew who built that wall. It ain't coming down, just so you know. That's kooky. That's just kooky, right? You could call this the Memorex moment of the Old Testament. Do you remember that commercial? With the woman, she sang at a high note and it cracked that glass. Listen, only old people like Steve will know that commercial, will remember that commercial, right? Feeling better about yourself now, aren't you? Yeah, right? But you understand that's what they suggest. This is what the theory suggests, right? Now, look. It takes more than faith to believe that. It takes more than faith to believe than to believe that God just brought the wall down. Now, there's another theory called the vibration theory. They said that the rhythm of the men marching around the wall, that rhythm and that vibration from them marching around the wall caused the walls to crumble. Well, if that's true, I want you to go out and march around the building.
7 days.
7 days. Awesome. Well, if that's true, let's go down to Fallensby around one of them old dilapidated. Let's pick out a dilapidated building down in Fallensby that needs to be torn down. We'd have to hunt for it, I'm sure. But we'll go down there, we'll all get in step, and we'll march around it and scream at the building at the highest decibel that we can muster up, and we'll see if it works. Anybody with me? You're all with me? You're kooky. Like I said, there's been so much written about this, and I also want to share with you this. There's an archaeological dig. There was an archaeological dig in the early 1900s, around 1907, in an Italian group, and I'm not even going to compare anybody in here to that age, right? 1907, there was an Italian group in 1907. And then in 1930, getting closer, aren't I, buddy? In 1930, John, I'm sorry. And then in 1930, John Garstang and a group went in. And then in 1950, I know you're raising your hand now, right? In 1950, Kathleen Kenyon, a British archaeologist, went in. And then they came back and a group of German archaeologists went in there and dug there at Jericho. And then in 1997, that's more around my time, 1997, another team of Italians dug there. And in 1999... an archaeologist by the name of Wood, working for the Biblical Archaeological Association, went in and did a dig. I don't know if you were counting or not, but that's six different teams. And let me tell you what all those teams found. They dug through this tale called Jericho, And this is what they discovered. They discovered that the walls fell. It was unanimous. In fact, I read a statement by Kathleen Kenyon. She said this. She found walls that had fallen down outward. Imagine that. Wow, amazing, huh? What an incredible find. Like, that wasn't told, right? You know? Now, if you remember what I shared with you before, those are the only walls, remember? These are the only walls in the ancient world that have fallen out and not in. Because usually when an enemy attacks, it attacks from the outside in. And the Hebrew word really means to fall before itself. So they fell forward. They found that all the bricks had fallen down from that upper wall and down to the lower wall. In fact, every single one of those archaeological groups found that very same thing. And this is what else they found. They also found that the city was totally and completely burned, just as the word of God said that it was. And the third thing they found was this. They found that the granaries of Jericho was completely full. All the granaries were full. So do you know what that means? It means that this place fell at harvest time. And that's exactly what the Word of God tells us. Remember, the banks of the Jordan were overflowing, right? When they crossed the Jordan, the Jordan banks were overflowing because it was harvest time. But look, and it fell quickly. And listen, a lot can happen in just one day, amen? Now, they know that it fell quickly because none of the grain was used up. What's the point? That means that there was not a long siege of the city where the people would have been eating up the grain. What happened? Happened, bam, and it was over. They didn't stay there for days, months, years. The granaries were full. And we know that this city fell quickly, and it fell in a single day. Now, archaeology has shown us all of that. So now, do you know what that tells me? This is a word for all of us here today. It tells me this. This is so profound. You probably have never heard this before. This tells me that the Word of God can be trusted. We forget this. We do. We hear it all the time. The Word of God can be trusted. That's one good way. Look, that's one good way that you can look at the Word of God and you can have confidence in what it tells you. You can have confidence in the Word of God. Archaeology has shown us all this to be true. So, no matter what God used, an earthquake, sound waves, vibrations, whatever He used, right? It was ultimately God who, according to Hebrew chapter 11, verse 30, through the faith of the Israelites, because of their faith, it was God who brought the walls down after the people marched around them for 7 days. And that tells me this. Now, watch. We're going to end up here quickly, if you believe me. Watch. This is good. This is sweet. And it tells me this. In the midst of my spiritual battles, in the midst of my life battles, in the midst of my difficulties, in the midst of my hard times, and that's what we have been talking about this entire series, when things happen in your life that catch you completely off guard, things that knock you off your feet, things that knock you off your normal pattern routine of life, that when hardships come, and if you're not in one, there will be one. When they come and you don't know what to do, trust God. Trust God. and remain faithful and obedient to Him. And it's true, a lot can happen in just one day. Listen, health can crumble. You're moving along through life, and then in just one day, wham! You're facing the biggest challenge of your life. Likewise, marriages crumble. One day you're good, the next day you're like, what in the world just happened? Or maybe your job vanishes. You think, I'm good, I'm set, I got it good going on right now, man, I'm good, I'm set. And then all of a sudden, I lost my job and they closed the mill. And I don't know how I'm going to support my family, let alone myself. Or God forbid, maybe you lose someone in just a day. And your whole world is turned upside down. Listen, a lot can happen in just a day. But listen, here's what all this in Joshua shows us. It was God who brought the walls down. It was God who brought the walls down. Oh, wait a minute. It was God who brought the walls down after the people marched around them for 7 days. And that tells me this. In the midst of our life battles and difficulties and hard times, the power of God is effective. Remember, He can tear walls down and pick you up at the same time. And listen, His power is effective. It is effective in fortified walls. The power of God is effective to hold back waters of a river, even an ocean. Amen. The power of God is effective to raise the dead. The power of God can cast out demons. The power of God can calm the waves and the wind, and the wind obeys His command. The power of God can change your life. The power of God can transform your life. The power of God can sustain your life, and the power of God can prosper your life. Listen to what I'm saying. The power of God is effective. The power of God is and can be effective in your life starting today if you will seek Him by faith and obedience. What am I saying? These people had faith in God. They did what they told Him to do. They were obedient to that. They had faith and obedience. Now the question comes to this. Do you need some of that power today? Do you need some of that power? Do you need it in your marriage today? Do you need it in your finances today? Do you need it in your health today? Do you need it in your grief today? Do you need it in your spiritual life today? Do you need it in your ministry today? I know I do. Trust me. Do you need it in you fill in the blank? Great news. It's available to you. Here it comes. It's available to you. But you know what? You have to plug into it. And you plug into it by walking in obedience to Him by faith. Notice what we've watched. We have watched as the Israel nation walked exactly as God instructed them to do. God told them to do it, and they went and did it exactly the way God told them to do it, exactly as He said to. Exactly, they did exactly. They didn't sway to the right, and they did not sway to the left. God said it, and they followed it exactly. Don't miss this. All this took place first. I want you also to remember this. God was not on the Israelites' side. The Israelites was on God's side. Big, huge difference. God wasn't on the Israelites' side. The Israelites was on God's side. They walked in obedience by faith in God's instructions on how and how they should go and how they should do. And we saw the power in that. There's a power demonstration from God in that. So let me ask, are you walking in obedience to God's commands? Are you doing life His way? Are you doing life His way? Or are you doing it your way? Or even worse, are you doing it the world's way? This world has a powerful influence. Trust me when I tell you, there is absolutely, positively no power in that. You have no power on your own. Shout at the wall, folks. Shout at it. See what happens. March around the building, all of you. See what happens. If God tells you to do it, that's a different story. When I tell you to do it, it has no power. You can't raise the dead. You can't calm a storm. You can't stop the wind. You can't march around a problem. You can't march around a problem and make it fall away. Only God has that kind of power. But get this. Watch, I want to be very careful here. I'm marching tiptoes through this. You can't march around a problem and make it fall away. Only God has that kind of power. But get this, He makes that power available to you when you are walking with Him. When you're doing what He's telling you to do, and when He tells you to do it, and how He tells you to do it, it's available to you when you're in that. So no matter what the day may bring, you will not face it alone, but with His power. In this series alone, God has demonstrated His power over, watch, get this. In this series alone so far, God has demonstrated His power over any obstacle that got in the way of the Israelites. Any obstacle, He's removed it. So, let me ask, don't you think that God can handle whatever obstacle that you have going on in your life? Do you believe that? Now listen to me. You have a responsibility to tap into that power if you want it. And you do that by walking in obedience. Walking in obedience. Let's question that. Walking in obedience, how are you doing with that? Do you struggle like me? Oh, you're the pastor. Well, I'm a man. Just like you. Half of you. Are you walking in obedience? How are you doing with that? Put it this way. Is your life His way or your way? Are you walking through life your way or are you walking through life in His ways? Well, God wants me to be happy. No, He doesn't. Show me. Show me. I hear it all the time. Well, God wants me to be happy. No, He doesn't. Is He against your happiness? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God's interested in your obedience. And when your children are obedient, what do you do to them? You praise them. You bless them. And listen, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then it is not possible for you to live His way. It's not possible for you to live His way. You can't do it. You don't have the power to do it. And when you don't have Him in your life, then ultimate destruction will follow.
just like it did for Jericho. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's the great news. It doesn't have to be that way. God's provided a way for you. You need to get on His side. Oh, you may be able to go through the motions for a little while, but trust me when I tell you, you will not be able to endure. You don't have the power. 13 times the Hebrews marched around the wall, 13 times with each step they were showing their obedience to God's command. That's what they were doing. They were showing their obedience. I don't know how it's going to happen. This is crazy. I don't see it. But I'm going to do what God told me to do. And there's no record that I can find of the people saying, well, God clearly said it to do it this way. Here, it sounds like this. I know what God says, but I know what He says. I know what He expects, but, right? So there's no record that I can find of the people saying, well, God clearly said to do it this way, but you know what? I'm going to go get me a little scooter. I'm going to go get me a little scooter. I understand what He said, but I'm going to go get me a little scooter because God understands. Oh, He knows my legs are tired and I know He would want me to be happy and comfortable. I just know He would. We don't see any record of people saying 13 times. Oh. You know the preacher goes long and I've got family coming for Sunday dinner. 13 times. Surely God didn't mean that. Yeah, oh yeah, He said it. I understand what you said, Lord. But I know what you really meant, Lord. I know what you meant. If you feel like marching 13 times, right? Just add one little word in there. One little thing. I pressed something on my watch, now it's going crazy. If you feel like marching 13 times, go ahead and do it. But you know we're living in the 13 to 1400 BC, that is, right? Things have changed now. There are better ways of doing things, and God understands that. This culture is not the same as the old culture. This is not the same. Is this that? Kookiness. Things have changed now. There are better ways of doing things, and God understands that. So we know He said to march, but we're just, let's just blow it up. Let's get some dynamite. We have it. Let's just go get it and put it on the wall, and let's just blow it up. Much quicker, faster, easier. I don't have to march. Besides, if you don't want to do it God's way, if you don't feel like doing it God's way, then you know God will just forgive me. God will just forgive you. He'll just forgive me. He understands me. So he'll forgive me and bless me anyways. So I'll just do it my way because I know what's best for me. God understands me and He will bless me anyways. I'm ending quickly. God will forgive me and He'll just bless me anyway because He understands me. He gets me. I know what His word says, but I just know what he wants for me, and I just know that He wants me to be happy. I just know everything. I know what He says and all that. I want you all to raise your hands on this question. Has anyone ever read anything like that in this text? Anywhere? The answer to that is no. Because God said it and they did it, period. Do you want power in your relationships? Are you dating according to God's plan? Do you want power in that relationship? Are you dating according to God's plan? Do you want power in your marriage? Are you doing your marriage God's way? Do you want power in your finances? Are you doing finances God's way? Do you want power in your faith? Are you doing it God's way? Are you listening to His instructions? It's all right here in the Bible. Are you listening to Him? We filled out some papers for the insurance company and they wanted to know if we had a personal conduct policy. Donna said, "What?" She goes, "Do you have a policy for your membership, for your individual membership?" She goes, "Do you have a policy on how they're personally supposed to conduct themselves as a member of your church?" And she almost said, "No." And then she goes, "Yes, we do." Oh, caught the insurance guy off guard and says, "Oh, you do?" She goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I'd like to get a copy of that." And she goes, "Okay, it's the Bible." He said, "What?" She goes, "Our personal conduct policy is the Word of God." Are you listening to His instruction? It's all right here. The question is, are you listening to Him? Or is this just a book of suggestions to you? If it fits your desire, you'll do it. If not, you won't. Okay. Have you not noticed yet that there is truly an unmatchable power and might in our God to overcome any situation in any circumstance yet? Have you not noticed that? There's an unmatchable power and might in our God to overcome any situation in any circumstance for those who love Him and follow Him. And listen to me, a lot can happen in just one day. Life is hard. We tire out, amen? And some of us, we give up. The journey is too long. It's what we do. We look at it, we think the journey is too long, it's too difficult. And we say, "Why, God? Why, God, why? Why is this happening? Or why is that happening? God, are you mad at me or what? Well, God, why? And we decide. When we don't think God's way feels good anymore, so we're going to do what makes us feel good and what makes us happy. Told you this was going to be a happy message. We go to a point when we don't think God's way feels good anymore. And what we're doing doesn't make us feel good anymore and doesn't make us happy anymore. So we do what we think is best for us. Listen very closely. Very, very closely. That's not obedience. That's sin. And most of the time, that's not salvation. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, that he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures. That's the might and power of God right there. That's the mighty power of God that causes, or the mighty power of God that gives us the strength to endure. We can endure on our own. It's only by Him that we endure until the end. And listen, if you have never placed your full trust, every bit of your trust in Jesus Christ, listen, a lot can happen in just a day. You never know what can happen in just a day. So I invite you to come and take the first step in obedience. Give yourself to Jesus Christ. Give yourself to Him as your Lord and Savior. Give yourself to Him. Give yourself to Him to follow Him in His ways and receive His power in your life. How many want that power? I know I do. And if you want that power too, you come when the music begins. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love for us, Lord. Your love is just absolutely incredible. It's beyond comprehension. Actually, as the song would say, it's too marvelous for words. So, Lord, we thank You that You love us and You're willing to provide us a way of truth, a way that includes Your power through our faith and obedience. Lord, strengthen us and help us to endure. Lord, it's hard. Lord, it is hard. It is hard. It's hard for me, and I know it's hard for others. Lord, I just pray that You give us the strength to endure. You give us the strength to choose Your way every day, every moment of every day. Lord, it's hard. We understand it, but we need Your strength. And Lord, we know this, that those who believe and trust in You, we're not alone. So we call up on the name of Jesus. We call up on Your name, Lord Jesus, and ask You to give us the help that we need to overcome any obstacle or situation in our life that wants to hold us back. So, Lord, we just place ourselves at Your seat, at Your mercy seat, Lord, and ask for Your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The altar is open.
We all please stand. Your name is life.
Song. Father God, we just come before you and we do pray for your healing, your power, and your presence, Lord. We pray that it fall mightily. Lord, there are so many in this place that need you this very moment, this very second. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will just move mightily as we repent of our sins, as we draw close to you. In our faith and our obedience, Lord, that you will work mightily, that your Holy Spirit will move powerfully, Lord. So, Lord, in this place, I just pray that there will be a sense of peace that transcends all understanding because you have showed up. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as we go home from this place, that we simply not forget the things that were said here, but we'll not only dwell on them, but we would pray on them. And we would seek out even deeper meanings in them. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we, your church, has come here and simply say thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us and the love that you have for us. And as we depart this place, you take us home in safety and bring us back again at the appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all. I love you. You're dismissed.
Jesus.